That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Anybody else found yourself standing in the kitchen wondering why in the world you walked in there? No, just me. Okay, maybe you're the one that's tossing and turning at night and you feel like your body just isn't your own anymore. You've got these unexplainable hot flashes, night sweats, you're having trouble sleeping, the mood swings. Oh my goodness, the mood swings, and even memory lapses. Y'all picking up what I'm laying down here? You see where I'm heading? I got an email this week from a dear listener. Let's see if you identify with her. This is what she said. Good morning, or is it evening? I don't know. I can't sleep. It's 2 a.m. on a Saturday night. I need to be up in 5 hours to get my family ready for church. Cue the sweats, the insomnia, the feeling like I'm going crazy. What's that you say? It's menopause? Well, that's just grand. My doctor laughs and says, oh yeah, haha, everyone goes through it. Welcome to old age, honey. My husband thinks I'm off my rocker and has no idea how he can possibly fix me. Please tell me there's biblical help for menopausal women. I've searched and searched. There seems to be plenty of running jokes about menopause, but no one is tackling the very real emotional and physiological nightmare our bodies are going through. I know there's a season for everything under heaven. I'm just not loving this season. Or my body, my emotions, my spiritual life. I feel like I'm really going crazy. I know the Bible has everything we need for life and godliness. Please point me to the help for women in menopause. Yes, ma'am. Happy to. So thankful that this dear listener has sent her email in. Anybody else resonating with her? You 20-somethings, don't disengage. If you aren't dealing with this yourself, let me tell you something. You will be one day, because this is something that touches every woman's life in one way or another. Whether you're approaching this season or you're walking through it yourself or you're supporting someone who is, you're not alone. We're going to talk today, honestly, about the impact of menopause on the body and mind. And most importantly, we're going to seek a biblical response to the question, how are we supposed to navigate these very real circumstances in a way that honors God and His Word? Okay, before we get to that, let's talk nuts and bolts for a minute. Menopause marks the end of our childbearing years as women, and it's a natural, God-designed transition. Usually happens between the ages of about 45 to 55, but let's just be honest, because it's natural doesn't mean it's easy. Emotionally, menopause can bring a whole lot of unexpected challenges. Some women experience anxiety or depression, and there can be a sense of loss, of losing your youth, of losing your fertility, or even your identity if your identity has been wrapped up in being a childbearing woman. And these changes, they can really impact our relationships. They can impact how we think about ourselves and even our walk with God. And if that's you, friend, I want you to know something. God's word offers us hope. Romans 8, 37 through 39 assures us that nothing, no physical change, no emotional struggle, no biological clock ticking can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Even when our bodies feel out of control, God is steadfast. He invites us to lean on Him to prove His promises true in the middle of difficulty. So while menopause can bring with it some very real challenges, it's not a mistake or a punishment. It's part of God's intentional design for a woman's life. Scripture teaches us that every stage of life is under God's providence. Ecclesiastes 3:1 reminds us to everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And menopause, just one of those seasons. It's a transition that God has woven into our biology for His purposes. God's care doesn't end as our bodies change. In fact, He promises to be with us in every transition. The world often puts value on women for their youth and beauty and our ability to bear children, our outward appearance. But God sees us differently. God sees us in relationship with Him and our hearts. And Titus 2, 3 through 4 highlights that important, honored role of older women in the church to teach, to mentor, to disciple, and to model faith for the next generation. In the Bible, we get stories of women like Sarah and Anna and Naomi and Elizabeth that show that God uses women powerfully in their later years, not just in their youth. We have Sarah, who laughed at God's promise of a child in her old age, but then witnesses God's faithfulness. That's in Genesis 18 and 21. And then there's Anna in Luke 2, 36 through 38, that we get to see in her older ages devoting herself to worship, and she gets to witness the infant Jesus. And then there's Naomi. I think we're all familiar with Naomi, how she finds new purpose in mentoring and discipling Ruth after she experiences the profound loss of her husband and both sons to the point that she just feels like all hope is lost. But Ruth and Ruth's relationship with her gives her new meaning in her older years. And of course, Elizabeth, who conceived John the Baptist in her old age after years and years of barrenness, that's just a miracle in and of itself. So like these biblical women, your later years are filled with potential for spiritual fruitfulness and legacy. Menopause is not the end. It's a new beginning. It can bring freedom because you have more time, more energy, and wisdom to invest in others and in God's kingdom because many of the other seasons of your life have wrapped up. And then there's this other aspect. God often uses seasons of change to grow our faith and deepen our purpose. And it's always so interesting to me how God allows for small illustrations in our lives to help us better understand the truths of His word. My husband, he has a passion for antiques, and he came across a crucible that was used in the Australian gold rush in the 1800s last week. And I was just holding that crucible in my hand and started to better understand the Bible's repeated mention of the refiner's fire. So just in case you aren't aware of what a crucible is, that's just the container that holds the material that's being refined as it's put in the heat. So the crucible itself can withstand the high heat that's necessary to melt those precious metals in order to purify them. So while the metal melts inside the crucible stays whole. It is not impacted by the heat. It holds the metal in the fire so that the impurities can rise above, rise to the top, and then be skimmed off or removed. And God does this in us as believers. He allows us to experience trials and suffering, the heat that comes into our lives, in order to expose and remove sin and unbelief and other impurities from our hearts. This isn't punitive, though. This is purposeful because God's intention is always redemptive. Jeremiah 9:7 says, "Therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, 'See, I will melt them in a crucible of affliction. I will refine them and test them like metal.'" And the biblical image of a crucible, this just gives us such a powerful metaphor for God's sanctifying love. Scripture repeatedly draws this comparison to illustrate how God's love refines us as believers through trials, not to destroy, but to purify and transform us into the likeness of Christ. And that's just sanctification. Sanctification is both a once and for all act. It's a definitive act when we're set apart in Christ at the moment of salvation, and it's an ongoing process. We are progressively being made more and more holy. And this process, like the Bible says, is this repeated cycle of heating and cooling, in the fire, out of the fire. That's how metal is refined and how those impurities get removed. And that's how God shapes our character. Hebrews 10:14 describes believers as those who are being sanctified. And this is how we know this is a continuous process. And then 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7 compares the testing of faith to gold refined by fire. And this is how we know that God uses trials and hard things like biological changes and seasons to produce genuine faith. A refiner All the refiner does is watch the crucible closely to ensure that the metal's not overheated and destroyed. And this is how God's love holds us and sustains us as believers through the refining process. He doesn't abandon us in the fire. His loving presence is like that crucible. It ensures that we aren't burnt up, we don't get destroyed, and that Christ-likeness is produced. So God's love is that steady hand that holds us in the fire. So even as we walk through God-ordained natural aging processes, that can act as a crucible in our lives where God continues to forge dependence on Him and make us more and more like Jesus. And we also get to discover new ways to serve God and others as we're walking through these things. And that's all well and good. And it's great that we can know those true things, that God is progressively sanctifying us. But what about the very real emotional and spiritual struggles that come along with menopause? Well, Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." God is near to you in your struggles. He's near to me. He sees and He knows and He cares. He knows what's going on with you biologically, physically, all the hormone fluctuations and changes in your body. God knows. He's the one who knit you together in the first place, which brings us to one other aspect of this discussion that comes up often, and it's a question that needs to be tackled. And that's exactly what we're going to do in about 2 minutes after we hear from Jimmy. So meet me back here after the break.
And we'll be back with more from Libby in just a moment. I'm not going to lie, I don't know anything about menopause. What I do know is what it's like to stare at the ceiling at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I can relate a little bit on that level, but not about menopause. But I will say that if you are staring at the ceiling at 2 o'clock in the morning for whatever reason, I do have a bit of advice for you. That is to grab Fortis Plus. Yeah, our app, Fortis Plus. And I'm not saying it's going to knock you out and put you to sleep. I'm saying it will keep you company when you can't sleep. Think of it as a dim lamp on the nightstand. Okay, that was corny. But anyway, you get what I mean. Open up Fortis Plus and you're going to find Libby. You're going to find Dr. Adam Tyson and Dr. Greg Gifford and Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bigney, and our other fellows right there ready to hang out with you and point you to biblical truth. It's loaded with hundreds of hours of audio and video content right now, and we just keep adding to it every single day. And my favorite part about the whole thing is that it's absolutely free. It's not free for a week. It's not free until we ask for your credit card. No, it's free right now, and it's free forever. Just go to FortisPlus.org, or you can go to your app store on your phone and search for Fortis Plus. Here's the thing. This isn't just about loading you up with content. We've built Fortis Institute as a team effort because we understand you're not meant to walk through life with the Bible in one hand and nothing else, but we're unable to keep our bench full of trusted voices without you. We do it for you, but we can't do it without you either. We need people just like you who've decided, yeah, I want to keep this going for someone else. That's what our gospel partners do. That's what I'm getting at. Gospel partners give to keep this mission going so that the next person who maybe doesn't even know we exist yet can find us and get the same biblical clarity that you're hearing today. So as I always tell you, your local church comes first. That's never going to change. That is always your first priority in giving. But if you're already faithfully doing that and you still have a margin that you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, pray about it and walk through how it would fit into and look in your life practically. And you can start the process by going to FortisInstitute.org right now and finding all of the answers to all of the questions you could possibly have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. So Fortis Plus is there for you for free whenever you need it. And if you're in a place in your life where you can help us to continue keeping it free, that's what becoming a gospel partner is all about. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now. All right, let's get back to Libby Glosson. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glosson.
The heat is on, right, ladies? The refiner's fire of dun-dun-dun menopause. not afraid to talk about the personal stuff here because, hey, it's just us girls, right? So here's the question. The elephant in the room that I was talking about before the break. Is it okay for Christian women to use hormone therapy? That is the question that comes up so often in biblical counseling and conversations among ladies and online forums. And here's my answer. I'm not a medical doctor. And since hormone therapy is a medical treatment that can help to manage the symptoms of menopause, like the hot flashes or the bone loss, I am not able to answer that exact question. Here's what I do know. For some women, it's a real help. For others, it's not quite the right fit. There's risks and benefits, and every woman's situation is different. And here's what else I know. Medicine or not, hormone therapy or not, there's a better question, a better way to be thinking about this. What does good stewardship of my body look like in this new season of life? So what does the Bible say? And here's where God is so kind to give us a framework to follow. And like our email friend said, the Bible has everything we need for life and godliness. And that applies right here, right now to this very topic. God gives us such a beautiful balanced perspective and biblical principles to teach us to balance grace and what's our responsibility as we walk through things like menopause. First, we're called to be good stewards of our bodies. That's just 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. It says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, honor God with your bodies." That means caring for our health is a godly pursuit. All right, so very practical here, and y'all already know this. Eat good stuff. Eat as much whole foods as you can. Drink lots of water. Limit the junk food. Fuel yourself well. Rest. Go to bed at a decent hour. Make getting a good night's sleep part of your lifestyle. And exercise, or at least stay active. You know, walk when you can, take the stairs, not the elevator, all the little ways to keep your body in motion. My mom always says, use it or lose it. And this is coming from a woman in her 70s that still climbs trees. So take that for what it's worth. Now, I know there's going to be times where things like this are not feasible. You're going to be at somebody's birthday party. You got to have a piece of cake. There'll be a deadline that keeps you up till 1 a.m. or a day packed with things to do where you just don't get the physical activity in. And I totally get it because the goal is not perfection or living and dying by a schedule, but you're just trying to create some general patterns in your life that lend themselves to healthier living so that you can be good stewards of your body because it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Second thing, we have freedom in Christ. Romans 14, 5 through 6 reminds us that there's some decisions that are matters of personal conviction. So we've talked about this before. We're not under the law. We are under grace. There's no condemnation for seeking medical help when it's not prohibited by Scripture. Like I said before, I'm not a medical doctor, and my convictions when it comes to medical decisions might be different from yours. And yours might be different from your friends. And that's okay. When it's not prohibited by Scripture, we have to give each other room to navigate according to our own consciences. So do your research and use wisdom, which leads me to James 1:5 that promises, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So that's the third thing. We're called to seek wisdom when we're facing trials and difficult circumstances. God delights to guide us in these decisions. So where do we get this wisdom? God's word and prayer. You want to know what God has to say about something? You want to hear the voice of God? It's right there in the pages of Scripture. It's His very breath on paper, sure and true. And you want to talk to God? You have a way to do that. It's called prayer. So spend time in prayer. Meditate on Scripture. Let God's word renew your mind and calm your heart and give you the wisdom you're seeking. And speaking of renewing your mind is the sort of source of all of these things. Even when it comes to menopause, even when we know that the thoughts that are flapping around in our minds can be sometimes attributed to hormonal influences, we still have a command. It's straight from 1 Peter 1:13. We're called to gird up the loins of our mind. So just think of it like this. In ancient times, in biblical times, people wore long robes. And so before they would need to run somewhere or work on something or go into battle, they would gather up the loose ends of those robes and they would wrap them around their waist and tie them in a knot and tuck them in their belts so that nothing would trip them up. This was just a practical physical preparation for action. And this is the vivid image that Peter borrows when he applies it to our minds. Gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, get ready for action. Be spiritually and mentally ready. Don't let the loose ends of your thinking trip you up. So what are the loose ends in our minds? This is all the stuff that floods us when we least expect it in the middle of the night, in those quiet moments. It's the unchecked worries, the lingering doubts, the lies that we've believed about ourselves or about God, and all the distractions that keep us from focusing on truth. So these are the thoughts and beliefs that haven't been brought under the authority of God's word. And if we let them flap around, if we don't gird up the loins of our mind, they slow us down, they entangle us, they trip us up, and they make it hard to run the race that God has set before us. So Peter's call is really clear. We have to be intentional with our thoughts. We have to be actively gathering up those loose ends. We have to ask, what thoughts are keeping me from trusting God? Where am I believing something that isn't true? And then bring those thoughts to scripture and replace the lies with God's promises. For example, maybe your anxiety is running wild. Anchor yourself in Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now listen, I'm not talking about positive thinking here. This is sober-mindedness. It's being clear-headed and alert and being prepared for the spiritual battles that we all face. So again, this is not a call to perfection, but to being prepared about growing in Christ-likeness and learning to think God's thoughts after him, and then finding the freedom and joy as we run the race unhindered and our thoughts are fixed on him. And can I just encourage you, don't walk this journey alone. Galatians 6:2 urges us to bear one another's burdens. So reach out to other women, pray together, encourage each other. The church is a place for honesty and support and shared wisdom. And ladies, we need each other because while the guys are trying to be supportive and helpful and encouraging to us, they don't know what it's like to walk through what we're walking through. So you're going to need a support system. Find other women who are walking this road, who are maybe a little ahead of you on the road of menopause and all these life, body, biological changes. Join a Bible study. Join a small group. One thing, please don't isolate yourself because that's where you can get really lost in the weeds. And last thing, embrace God's faithfulness. Philippians 1:6 says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God is not finished with you yet. This is not the end of your usefulness. It's not the end of your joy. In fact, many women find new purpose and deeper intimacy with God in this season. And that makes it all worth it, doesn't it? Okay, so practically, what should you do? Let's just whittle it down to the nuts and bolts, like I said at the beginning. First, just pray. And then talk to other people. Talk with your spouse. Talk to your doctor. Talk to your church leadership or a trusted biblical counselor. Weigh the risks and benefits of all the different aspects of potential help, treatment, medical intervention. And don't let fear or legalism drive your decision. You are free to make a wise, informed choice. And ultimately, the point is to trust God with the outcome. So let me just remind you, menopause is not a curse. It's a transition. It's part of God's story for your life. He is with you. He's shaping you. He's calling you to new opportunities. Embrace this season with faith, with courage, and hope that God has more for you to do. One of my favorite pastors says, we don't get to retire. We're not retired. We are retreaded. We are being outfitted for new work. And let me just tell you this too. I, in my personal life and ministry, have such an opportunity now with grown children and those transitions in my life to do new things that I wouldn't have had time to do and get involved with when my children were little. So menopause is a significant season, but it does not diminish the power of our great God. Keep your gaze fixed on your Creator. Behold your God. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that God, the immutable, unchanging God, He is with you in every change you go through, in every challenge you face, every new beginning, every seeming end. And if you're struggling, reach out to somebody for prayer, for counseling, for community, because you're not alone. God's grace is sufficient, and there is a better way to walk through this season of menopause.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.